This is Acts 21, verses 1 to 15, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Paul's journey to Jerusalem. After saying farewell to the Ephesian elders, we sailed straight to the island of Kos. The next day we reached Rhodes and then went to Patara. There we boarded a ship, sailing for Phoenicia. We sighted the island of Cyprus, passed it on our left, and landed at the harbour of Tyre in Syria, where the ship was to unload its cargo. We went ashore, found the local believers, and stayed with them a week. These believers prophesied through the Holy Spirit that Paul should not go to Jerusalem. When we returned to the ship at the end of the week, the entire congregation, including women and children, left the city and came down to the shore with us. There we knelt, prayed, and said our farewells. Then we went aboard and they returned home. The next stop, after leaving Tyre, was Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed for one day. The next day we went to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. Several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. He came over, took Paul's belt, and bound his own feet and hands with it. Then he said, "The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But he said, "Why all this weeping? You're breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus." When it was clear that we couldn't persuade him, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." After this, we packed our things and left for Jerusalem.
So we are continuing our journey through the book of Acts, and for the last few weeks, the last few months really, we've been going through this book, and it's been so exciting each week just to look at a different chapter and to see how God's church grew and how he used different individuals to achieve his plans and purposes. And this week we find ourselves in Acts chapter 21, and Michelle just read some of that to us. And in Acts chapter 21 we find Paul leaving Ephesus. Aubrey took us through Acts 20 last week, looking at Ephesus, and we find him leaving Ephesus and moving towards Jerusalem. His plan is to go towards Jerusalem, and if you have a look at this map, you can see all of Paul's second missionary journey there. And on this map that comes up, you can see I've just, with a bigger red line, I've just shown you that this is the bit of the journey we're going to look at this morning. He's left Ephesus, he's gone down to Kos, and he cuts across to the Syrian coast, and then drops down to Caesarea. And that's the bit we're interested in today. And in the passage that Michelle read to us, and on this part of his journey, we find there's two things that just caught my eye to start with. And the first one is this, that when he goes to Tyre here on the Syrian coast, he meets up with some disciples of Jesus, and he meets there and spends some time with them, and he tells them that he's going to be heading towards Jerusalem. And at that moment the disciples with him urge him not to go to Jerusalem. They it says that they're through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. They sensed there was something in it. They sensed that it wouldn't be good for him to go to Jerusalem, that something negative was going to happen. And then you find this really emotional scene with a group of them praying together, kneeling on the beach. And you can almost imagine Paul kind of getting into his boat and pushing off, and there being tears and sadness, not just because he's leaving, but because they're worried about what's going to happen to him. And then once Paul leaves Syria, he drops down to Caesarea. And he stays in Philip's house there. And while he's there, the prophet Agabus comes to see him. And that name might ring a bell with you if you've been following this series, because in Acts 11 we met Agabus as a prophet. And he prophesied that there was going to be a famine across the land. And indeed there was. And it says that the church tried to work out how they were going to deal with this famine, how they were going to serve different people. So Agabus, we've met him before. He's got a track record of prophesying and being accurate in that. And Agabus sees Paul, and he says this. He says, coming over to us, he took Paul's belt and tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. So two incidences with people being nudged or being urged by the Spirit that something negative is going to happen to Paul if he goes to Jerusalem. The first, just that, don't go, Paul. The second, giving more detail, quite a lot of detail really, as to what was going to happen to Paul. But in both incidences, God is speaking. The Holy Spirit is involved in both moments. And what we see here being exercised is it's a spiritual gift of prophecy. Now, in the New Testament, several times in Paul's letters, he talks about the spiritual gifts that are on offer when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our lives. And here we see this gift of prophecy where God speaks through men and through women, through young and through old people. You know, my favourite definition, I think, of prophecy is this. That prophecy is the human reporting of divine revelation. Now this is what happens when somebody prophesies. That God puts a word on our hearts and in our minds, maybe a sentence or with Agabus it's an action. And then it comes from God, and then we, it's our job to speak it out, to report it, to share it with people. You know, we haven't got time this morning to look in detail about prophecy and how it works and how perhaps we can get involved in that. If you're interested to know more about that, I want to point you to our website and to our sermons, because this time last year, in the spring and early summer, we did a series looking at spiritual gifts and I preached on prophecy in that series. So if you're interested in knowing more, you can take some time this week to go and look up that particular sermon. But what I want to say this morning is this, is that when it comes to prophecy and moments like this that happened to Paul, God is still speaking to his church today. This still happens today. This isn't something just for Bible times. This happens and can happen to us today. And I know many of you have experienced this in your life, and I have as well, where God has placed a word on our heart to share with other people. It still happens, but our job is to expect him to speak to us, is to listen when he speaks to us, and to share it with other people. You know, are you expectant? Are you expecting God to speak to you? You should be, because he wants to. Are you listening to what God wants to say to you? Have you got moments in your day, each week, where you're setting aside time just to be quiet and to listen to what God might be saying to you? And if he does, are you prepared to share that with other people? I shall leave those thoughts with you. Expect, listen, and share when it comes to prophecy. What I do want us to dig into and to focus in, though, in these moments for Paul, is how he responded to these words. What did Paul do when people warned him on behalf of God as to what was going to happen? You see, God was warning Paul what to expect when he went to Jerusalem. I don't think God was asking him not to go, because Paul still felt this urge to go. But it's almost like God was just warning him what to expect. And it wasn't going to be good. You know, he was told he was going to be bound. He was going to be in prison. And in fact, this was a feeling that Paul lived with, I think, for most of his ministry, this sense that the negative things, the bad things might happen to him. If you flick back a page in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, Paul says this. He says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." I have this sense that this looming sense of maybe dread or that bad things were going to happen, it was part of Paul's ministry. And then knowing this and seeing Agabus' prophecy, you know, his companions plead with him not to go. I wonder how Paul felt in those moments. I wonder what's going on inside of him emotionally. What he was wrestling with mentally. Was there that tussle? Maybe I shouldn't go. Maybe actually wanting to stay where it was safer. Wanting to be in a place where things weren't going to go bad for him. You know, I wonder if you face situations like that in your life. I expect you have. We all have. You know, I call these second choice situations. Where we know that something bad is going on in our lives and it's happening, or there's that looming sense that something bad is coming over the next few hours or days, and there's nothing we can do to change it. And we find ourselves saying, "I didn't choose this. I don't want this. Is there another way? I wish I could change this." These second choice situations. Maybe it's that sense of maybe something with our health is not where we want it to be. I mean, I didn't choose this. Maybe with our finances and we look at our bank account. So I didn't choose this. I don't want to be this hard up. I don't want to have these debts. Maybe a relationship that isn't where we want it to be. Maybe a bereavement. Maybe just waiting for something to change. Maybe that's our second choice situation. And there's a sense that at the moment all of us in lockdown are going through this second choice situation. We didn't choose this. If we could, we'd want it to be a different way. Look at what Paul says though. When faced with this second choice situation of heading towards Jerusalem and being bound and being in prison, look at what he says. "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." I don't know about you, but I read that and I think when I'm facing second choice situations, often I'm the one weeping. "Lord, I don't want it this way." You know, here Paul has got a completely different mindset, hasn't he? Look at what he says. Yes, "I'm ready." "I'm ready for what's to come. I'm not going to be dissuaded. I'm not going to be put off." You know, Paul's mindset here is that he's decided, even in this second choice situation, to keep following Jesus. I'm going to keep doing what I'm called to do. I'm going to stay close to Jesus. I'm going to, for the name of the Lord Jesus, look right in the middle there. This is his focus. This is his mindset. "I'm ready. I'm not going to be put off. I'm not going to be dissuaded." I think we get some clues as to why Paul was able to do this in some of his letters that he wrote to the other church, why he's so determined. You know, back in Acts 16, Paul was in a place called Philippi. And later on, Paul writes letters, and he writes to this church, these Christians in Philippi, and the letter's called to Philippians. And we can read the letter in the New Testament. And in Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes some interesting things to that church and those group of Christians. But he says this in Philippians chapter 3. He says this, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Incredible piece of writing, isn't it? And I think it gives us an insight into Paul's attitude towards second choice situations. You see, when things are hard for Paul, when he knows that negative things are happening to him or that they're going to come towards him, when he knows he's facing second choice situations, he sees them as an opportunity to know Jesus better. He sees those times of hardship, those times of difficulty, as times where he can get to know Jesus better. Did you see how he started that sentence? He said this, "I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to participate in his sufferings." He says, "I want to become like him in his death." You see, Paul knows that when he's faced with a tough time, when he's faced with a situation where he's going to suffer, that he finds Jesus in those moments. That he finds himself closer to Jesus almost in those moments. That he understands what it was for Jesus to suffer a little bit more. That maybe even he gets a glimpse of what it meant for Christ to die for him in those moments of suffering. He knows Christ more. And Paul's whole ministry and his whole life was all about knowing Christ more. You know, in Scripture, if you read the whole of Scripture, I think one of the things that we can see in that is that during tough times, during difficult times, if it's possible, the Bible says that we're closer to God in those times, that God comes closer to us in tough times. There's incredible bits in the book of Isaiah where he says, "Even if you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Even though you pass through fire, I will be with you." If it's possible, God comes closer during difficult times. I wonder if you found that in your life. I think I have. I think Paul knew that. And so he says, actually, I want to know Christ. And sometimes he says, that's going to mean it's going to be a struggle. Sometimes it means it's going to be really difficult in life. But that's what it is to know Christ more. In fact, Jesus said that himself, didn't he? He said, if you're going to follow me, it's going to be like picking up your cross every day sometimes. And following me, it's going to be hard. Doesn't mean that we go looking for trouble. Doesn't mean that we go looking for persecution and tough times and sufferings. But it does mean that when it comes, we know we're going to find Jesus close by. And it means that we can know Christ more. You know, Jesus described again by the prophet Isaiah, as he was described as the man of sorrows. It means that we find him in tough times. We find him in difficult moments. So Paul knew this. And so when the disciples on that beach said to him, "Don't go, don't go." And it meant that when Agabus came to him and showed him, bound his hands and his feet and said, "This is going to happen to you." It meant Paul could say, "I'm ready. I'm ready." It meant that Paul could come across and say, "You can't dissuade me. You can't dissuade me. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep following Jesus. And if that means going to Jerusalem and bad things happening, then I'm going to do that because I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I'm ready. I will not be dissuaded." You know, I think there's something in how Luke wrote the book of Acts. I think there's something about even how Luke writes these verses that's meant to remind us of Jesus as well. You know, Luke's a really clever writer. He was a doctor, had a lot going on upstairs, and I think he writes really well. And I think he writes this passage, and we're meant to be reminded of Jesus. You see, like Jesus, where's Paul going? He's going up to Jerusalem. And like Jesus, Paul knows he's going to suffer. Just as we see in the gospel account in Luke, Jesus knows he's going to suffer. And Paul knows he's going to suffer. And just like Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane, when Jesus says, "Not my will, but your will be done." What do we see happening here? In verse 14, they say, "The Lord's will be done." That's no mistake. I think we're supposed to kind of go, there's parallels here between Paul and Jesus. And Paul here is pointing us towards Jesus, the one who did go all the way. He didn't just suffer, but who gave up his life so that we can be free, so that we can know Christ. So as I finish, what about us? What about us here? As we listen to this morning, how do we apply this to our lives? I think the question is, how do we respond to second choice situations? How do you do that? How do I do that? What inspiration can we take from Paul when things are difficult, when things are looming, when things are tough? You know, the first thing we can say is, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. When difficult times happen, and when we're really going through it, that they can dominate our minds so much that they take us away from anything else. And the danger is that during tough times we forget Jesus and we focus on ourselves. The first thing I think we can take here is, I want to know Christ. And during tough times, that's our prayer. And I want to say to some of you this morning that maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never come to know him and asked him to be part of your life, but you found yourself tuning in this morning and you're thinking, do you know what? Knowing Christ, knowing Jesus, knowing there's someone there to help me during tough times, that sounds good. I want to invite you today, give your life to Jesus. Ask him to come into your life, even for the first time. And you can say that, I want to know you, Jesus. Why don't you ask him to do that now? You can pause this and you can just call out to Jesus. You can pray to him, say, come and be part of my life. If you do that today, I'd love to know. And then you can email us at office@frintonfree.com. You can drop us an email. You can phone the church. You can find the number on our website, because I'd love to be in contact with you. And would love to send you one of these booklets that just talks a little bit more about Jesus. We'd love to put in the post to you one of these Bibles so you can read more about Jesus as well. Why don't you get in touch if you want to know Christ more? We'd love to help you on your journey. But for all of us, whether we're doing that for the first time or we've known Jesus for a while, when we're faced with difficult times, the best thing we can call out and pray is, I want to know Christ in this time. And then we can say, I'm ready. If life is going to be difficult, and we know it will be sometimes, I'm ready to walk through that time, because I believe that God is still going to be with me, that he's going to be closer with me during those times. And we can say this as well, can't we? I will not be dissuaded. I will not be put off. Now, the Bible talks about a spiritual battle that takes place between good and evil, between God and Satan. And Satan, the devil, wants to pull us away from God. And his intention during tough times is that we walk away. And we say, well, if that's what life's like, and if that is what God's going to bring in my life, then I'm not interested. And we walk away from God. One of the most powerful things we can pray during tough times and second choice situations is, I will not be dissuaded. I will not be put off. We hold on to hope, that we hold on to Jesus in difficult times. You know, we're all facing a second choice situation at this time, aren't we? And for some of us, we're finding that all right. For some of us now, 7 weeks in, we're starting to get bored and apathetic, and maybe even some of the good practices we had in place are starting to slip. For others of us, this is really difficult, and it's been really hard being isolated and being on our own, and it's become a really difficult and dark time. What I want us to do as I finish now is to pray together. And wherever we're at in lockdown, wherever we're at during this second choice situation, we can all pray this together. And maybe this is a prayer you can take with you into the rest of this time in lockdown. So let's pray together. The words are going to come on the screen. Maybe you want to close your eyes or you want to read through with me. Jesus, in the middle of this second choice situation. I want to know you more. The clouds are heavy. The night is dark. But I know you are with me. I am ready. Ready to trust you. I will not be dissuaded from following you. Amen. Maybe you want to pause at the moment and write down that prayer if you find that helpful. Maybe you want to use that as you move through this second choice situation or any other situations that we go through. You can use that prayer. We're going to sing together now. And the song that we've chosen is the song Living Hope. And I think there's something within this song that we can use as a prayer as well. You see, it says this, how great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. You know, before we know Christ, we're all facing a second choice situation. We're all facing, whether we know it or not, an eternity without God. This chasm between us and him. But then it says this, through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. And that's what Christ does in difficult times, in second choice situations. We can know Christ more because he shines his light into these times.